Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for indeed you are able. We ask your continued blessings be with us and continue to fill us by your holy word and your Holy Spirit. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me call your attention to your sermon notes located on the back of your worship bulletin. Our scriptorial passage for this morning is taken from 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, verses 10 through 12. Listen to these words of the Apostle Paul as he is writing to the Corinthian church. And here's my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to share with you as it relates to my sermon title, Our Gifts. Our Gifts. Look to your neighbor and say the title with me, Our Gifts. Our Gifts. As we have responded to the membership vows to be a part of the church, I will be loyal to the United Methodist Church by my prayers, my presence, my gifts, my service, and my witness. And so today I want to talk about gifts. And Trish alluded to during her time of sharing, as it relates to our gifts are time, talents, and treasures. They're all part of our gifts that God has given each and every one of us. I shared at the previous services about a Baptist preacher who was preaching one day, and his deacons decided to give him support as they were casting out the vision of the church. And so as he was preaching, he shared with the church, if the church is to move forward, the church must walk and walk by faith. And so the deacons, they were on the front pews, just like these gentlemen here on my right. And when he said that the church must walk by faith, they said, let the church walk. Let the church walk. Well, he continued as he was going into the meat of his sermon. And he said, if the church is going to walk, then the church must get prepared to run. And the church must run. And the deacons and those who were sitting on the first pew, they said, the church must run. And so as he was continuing to preach, he said, not only should we walk, not only should we run, but when we get to the edge of the launching pad, the church should get ready to fly. And they said to the preacher, let's fly. But then he said, in order to walk, in order to run, in order to fly, then we have to give money. And they responded, let us crawl, let us crawl, let us crawl. That was in the Baptist church. In the Methodist church, we talk about money. No, in all churches. What would life be like without a group who's part of a public school like this group, GQ? Marshall Middle School and Plant City High, willing to talk and express their faith and their commitment to God, willing to make a sacrifice, willing to be housed, check this out, for the last 3 days on the beach, St. Augustine Beach. But what would a beach be without sand? What would the World Series be without a baseball? What would the Daytona Beach Speedway be without race cars? Or better yet, what would Bike Week be without bikers? What would a church be without members? Oh, better yet, what would a bridge be if it didn't have any passengers going from point A to point B to cross over safely and not get wet because of the water that's underneath the bridge? Well, let me call your attention to 1998. And prior to that, a bridge was built. The Japanese contractors were summoned to build that bridge. They had the best architects, the best designers, the best construction crew. And they claimed that they had built a bridge that would last the test of time. Regardless of any type of storm, regardless of the category, regardless of any type of earthquake, that bridge would still be standing. They were so impressed with their work, and rightfully so. In fact, I want to show you a picture of their work. And here you have that bridge. And what do you have running underneath that bridge? Water. They were so impressed. But indeed, in 1998, in Honduras, the earthquake occurred. And it moved and shook the earth. And that bridge was still standing. But guess what happened? Look at this picture. You see the bridge? But look what moved. Yeah, the water, the river. The river moved. It is a great reminder as it relates to our faith and being part of the body of Christ and part of the church. How the church is no longer the dominant factor of our society. So the church must not get so caught up in the beauty of our edifices and the beauty of facilities and structure. But the church must now go out into the lives of the people, where the people are. And we do that. And we can continue to do that well. We don't want to be like the bridge. The bridge is there, but there's no one trying to go from point A to point B. What good is a bridge if it doesn't have any passengers or any water underneath? What good is a bridge just to be on dry land? What good is a church to just look good and feel good, but not willing to go forth and disciple others, to share the gifts and graces that God has given each and every one of us? Well, if you look closely in the passage of Scripture, you'll see in 2 Corinthians that the Apostle Paul, he is writing not just one letter, but actually two. And in 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, the Apostle Paul, he is now focusing on the gifts of the church of Macedonia. How these Christians were willing to give. In fact, if you have your sermon notes, locate your sermon notes, and here's the first question. Because they had an appetite of grace giving. They were willing to give beyond themselves. What is the grace of giving? Look to your other neighbor and ask that question. What is the grace of giving? What is it? What is it? I'm glad you asked. Here's the answer. Right here on the screen, if you like to write it down. The Macedonians exhibited the grace of giving in a way that was what? Let's do that again. Sacrificial, spontaneously, and selfless. They were willing to give. And you cannot be a disciple and not a steward. Discipleship and stewardship goes hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. They were willing to give sacrificially. They were willing to give. In fact, if you look closely in this passage of Scripture, what the Apostle Paul is saying and sharing, look at 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, in just the 5th verse. and you will see. The Bible says they gave of themselves first. They gave of themselves first. Before they even put any offering in the offering pan, they gave of themselves first. They gave their whole being to God as a sacrificial offering to God. They were totally committed for Him. Not halfway, not part of the way. They were committed to Him. Long before they gave the offering, they gave themselves. They were willing to sacrifice. In fact, bless you, in fact, the Apostle Paul, he shares as it relates to this church was willing, even though they themselves were poor, they were willing to give beyond the necessity because they wanted the mission and ministry of the church to flourish. They were willing to give to the Jerusalem church. And the Apostle Paul lifts them up as an example because of their spontaneity, because of their willingness to give spontaneously. A good example of that is, I don't know how many of you have ever participated in paying it forward. Paying for someone else's meal behind you or giving to someone else. Not looking to receive only, but also looking to give. How many of you can't wait for Christmas just by a show of hands real quickly? We're in church, so just be honest. Yeah. It's an exciting time. And if you're looking for that special gift for your loved one, a family member, a friend, or significant other, you plan that gift. Some buy it in January and they hide that gift. Some get it during the summertime. Or some just wait till December 24. But with all excitement, you plan that gift and you're excited about that gift. And when you give it to that person, guess who's more excited? The one who's giving the gift. The one who receives it and open it, they're truly happy. But the one who has that opportunity to see that smile come across that person's face is just as happy. They were willing to give spontaneously. They were willing to give sacrificially. And then lastly, they were willing to give. They were willing to give what? What's the last word? Selfless. We live in a day and time when it's a me society. Me, 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 me. But they were willing to give of themselves. You look at this passage of scripture and you'll see how the Apostle Paul, he is looking now at this church, though they were poor, they were willing to give. In fact, the Apostle Paul shares in the 8th chapter, if you have your Bibles, look closely. Paul says, as it relates to our own faith and our relationship with God, and he looks at Jesus and he says, though he was rich, for your sake and my sake, he became poor in order for us to become rich. And we're richly blessed through our relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we should be a blessing to others. A young man had sent a letter to Mother Teresa, desiring to fly over to India. And to fly over to India and have a moment to sit down with Mother Teresa and learn from Mother Teresa how to give, how to make a difference in the lives of others. Mother Teresa answered that young man, and her response was this. With the money that it will take you to purchase a plane ticket to India, take that money and give that money to those who have needs. That's more important than sitting down with me. She got it right. A selfless act is a true story that I shared in the last service. While serving as chaplain at Bethune-Cookman, now university, I was told about a young man who lived in the scholarship house, was in the concert chorale. And to continue to stay in school and meet his needs, he was making baked goods, cinnamon rolls and red velvet cakes and pies, you name it, pound cakes. And he was selling them out of his car. And so some students were convincing me, they knew how much I liked sweets, to buy some. And I wasn't turned on when I found out he was selling them out of his car, to be honest. But then after they worked on me for a while, I indeed consumed his product. And it was very good. And not only did he sell it to the faculty and staff and the student body, but people out in the community. He was willing to use the talents of baking in order to make a profit to meet his needs in order to graduate from college. And indeed, he did graduate. And he went on and he started mentoring young boys and turning their lives around and making them men to make the difference. He was willing to give his gift. And he's here this morning, Stanley Glover, right here. That's a true story. True story. God moves in mysterious ways. And he wants us to use our gifts, our hands, our feet to make a difference in the lives of others. It was Billy Graham who said it this way. And let me help you fill in the blank. Evangelist Billy Graham said, a checkbook is a theological document. It will tell you who and what you worship. Who and what you worship. Oh, that's a good point. It reminds me of these Christians in Macedonia who was willing to give of themselves, who were willing to make a difference in the lives of others. We too can be a part of a church that continues to make a difference in the lives of others by using our time, our talents, and our treasures. Dr. King said it this way, and you heard it quoted earlier before. If you can't fly, then what? Run. If you can't run, then what? If you can't walk, then? But whatever you do, you have to keep moving forward. And that's what the church is called to do, to move the church onward and forward in the name of Jesus. The church is called to be a bridge across troubled waters. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. He's worthy to be praised. We want God to consecrate our lives. Here now to share a word with us.
Thank you, Pastor. Friends and beloved, 8 years ago I arrived on the staff as the youth director and worship leader. And after a time I had the opportunity to fill in the slot of congregational care minister. And so throughout this time it's been my privilege to be here in our community of faith, sharing life, sharing our ups and downs, being there spiritually for you as a shepherd, as a confidant, as someone to walk our journey of faith with, all as I depended upon my Lord and Jesus Christ. Personally, this church has meant a world to me. It's been my church family, and I have learned so much from my experience here, and that's why it's difficult to even inform you of my next steps. But at the end of December, I will be taking a call to a church to become their pastor, ordained pastor in St. Augustine. So, thank you. I absolutely sense the love and that we share with one another. It will be some days of transition. But we will hold each other up and we will walk these steps, and the best ministry is yet to come for this church. And as I mentioned to these young men in our presence in the earlier service, when you say yes to God, all things are possible. And keep that, hold on to that, because all of us know that. And so keep on saying yes to the Lord He is good. He is faithful. You have stood with me. You have worked with me. And now you are sending me out with your compassion and faith, as I will be a part of continuing being that bridge, sharing God's grace and His gospel with others. So I thank you so much. And I want to make this last statement. It will be said that that man comes from a great church, Palm Coast United Methodist Church. And thank you for partnering with me over these years. God bless you.